TED Audio Collective.
You're listening to TED Talks Daily. I'm your host, Elise Hu. And today we have a talk that reminds us that storytellers and poets really build entire worlds with their words. Writer Kenan Scott II speaks in the lyrical rhythms of a song about his journey to become a storyteller. It started with learning to be true to his own unique voice and personal experiences. His talk from the 2022 TED at BCG stage is coming up after the break. Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple. Support for TED Talks Daily is from Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You can say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This show is brought to you by Schwab. You're here to keep a pulse on environmental trends. Well, now you can invest in what's trending in electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more with Schwab Investing Themes. It's an easy way to invest in ideas you believe in. Schwab's research uncovers emerging trends, then their technology curates relevant stocks into themes. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy all the stocks in a theme as is or customize to better fit your investing goals. All in a few clicks. Schwab Investing Themes is not intended to be investment advice or a recommendation of any stock or investment strategy. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing.
The pace of change today can be overwhelming. What's most important to pay attention to if you want to be creative, successful, innovative? I'm Bob Safian, host of Rapid Response. Rapid Response is a podcast that cuts through the noise, featuring candid conversations twice a week with top business leaders navigating real-time challenges. Leaders like Airbnb's Brian Chesky, the WNBA's Kathy Engelbart, and Khan Academy's Sal Khan. From the team behind the award-winning Masters of Scale podcast comes Rapid Response. Search wherever you get your podcasts to listen and subscribe.
Now, before I had the honor as a playwright to make it to Broadway, which also opened the door for me to work in TV and film, like everybody, I had a dream growing up. Now, before I tell you what that dream was, I have to promise not to laugh. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a superhero. See, I wanted to be what I saw so vibrantly on the pages of my Marvel and DC comic books. I actually used to sit on a stoop in a project with my godbrother Johnny, and we would create our own stories, writing and drawing them all. Now, I have to confess, years before Miles Morales, we actually made the first black Spider-Man. Two of them. What can I say? We're from Queens. Now, as we know, there's always a moment in a superhero's life where they realize that they have superpowers. Now, mine was revealed to me by my arch nemesis, my eighth grade English teacher. After he gave the class an assignment to write a poem. What happened after I did that will forever change the course of my life. Because when I turned in that assignment, the poem was so good, my teacher actually thought I plagiarized it. He asked me, how did I know what all these literary devices were that I didn't even know had names at the time? Because up until this point, because of my dyslexia, English and writing was always my kryptonite. I didn't even realize that all those years of consuming hip-hop music and culture was actually teaching me how to use literary techniques. Like when Tupac said, picture perfect, I paint a perfect picture, I will find out that that was alliteration. I wanted to try that. Pompous politicians pressure people to push towards their God. Now, right in that moment, a new power was unlocked. We stood by street signs that were slightly slanted in the slums of the city. Then we gradually geographically grafted graffiti on granite walls. And this was driven from the rage of the reaction of racism that was, all right, y'all get the point. I would soon find out what a metaphor was, a simile, double entendre, onomatopoeia, in rhyme, internal rhyme, and so on. And I found myself getting stronger with every word and phrase I was putting together. Now, a couple of years later in high school, I would discover the world of slam poetry. I had just recently got cut from my basketball team, so I had a lot of extra time on my hands that I wasn't used to. So what I did was I transformed my competitive energy from the court to the stage. Now, this was years before I ended up going to college and studying Chekhov and Meisner and William Shakespeare and August Wilson. Back then, I was studying underground battle rap kings like Loaded Lux and Mook and prophets that called themselves deaf poets. See, those men, they looked and sounded like me. They sounded like the neighborhoods I lived in. They sounded like home. So now, like those poets, Lemon Anderson and Black Ice, I started to look at people different. Stories started coming in and out of my mind just from observing the everyday world around me. Now, I can make the regular, most mundane, blue-collar worker of the middle class sound like a superhero. Like, I remember, there was always this guy on the corner telling stories and reminiscing. We all know this guy, right? And all his stories would start off with, yo, I used to be nice. Most people would write him off. But me, I saw more than a person whose dream was deferred. I saw a person who came alive in those stories. I knew that he was more than those dreams, whether they knew it or not. I used to be nice, yo. Nice like Jordan fadeaway nice. When I stepped on a court, stars would align, the world stopped spinning, gravity would cease, and I appeared to jump higher. You see, the angle of my form was nothing less than Da Vinci's sketch of the ideal man. Man, I used to be nice. I wasn't fast, but I was quick. My defense was well-equipped, and my assists were crisp. Since birth, I was chosen. I used to part defenses like Moses. Due to my vision, I can envision a player's position before they was positioned. I was conditioned. My no-looks were textbook, and scouts even said I was off the hook. Look, my crossover will put my opponent on pause and cause the crowd to go, oh, yeah. I used to be nice. I used to pin shots on the backboard, never bored, and when I scored, I transformed into something that wasn't even human. But who knew I would be ruined? By guys so envious of my game, his aim was me. So when I heard the snap of my knee, everything went silent. I no longer heard the crowd on my team. My years of dedication deteriorated with my dream. So I laid there on the floor, 4 minutes left, fourth quarter, no water, just a jersey drenched in sweat, regrets of trying to dunk on him. No need to ask why. This is the hand I was dealt. No sleeves, I couldn't cheat. Defeat didn't taste good. But I used to be nice, yo. Nice like Jordan fadeaway nice. When I stepped on the court, the stars would align, the world stopped spinning, gravity would cease, and I appeared to jump higher. Yeah, I used to be nice. Now, I found myself becoming obsessed with words and how they sounded. I started absorbing and paying attention more to speech patterns when people would speak when I was on a train going through the city. I also fell in love with jazz because I realized that the style that I was creating for myself had elements of improvisation like jazz greats, Gil Scott-Heron, Miles Davis, Thelonious. I also wanted to discover new poets that I didn't know. That's when I discovered Langston Hughes and Gene Toomer. Now, like every story, everyone has a love interest. And mine was Nikki Giovanni. And I actually fell in love with her. I found an Afrocentric descended angel sitting by herself. And she is beautiful. Certain moments are precious, I was told, and when you get to see into someone's soul, you see heaven. So if that's true, heaven is where I am. She painted her finger across the sky like she was painting the stars. And the world fell silent as I listened to the internal instrumental that my heartbeat made. I walked up behind her and touched her shoulder like the wind. And she looked at me like that familiar image she sees in her dreams. She is like the perfect use of assonance in just the right amount of lines. Her pupils look lost, and I wanted to teach her to love what she sees. Through pictures, I have pieced together her figure like a mosaic, and I have her on the walls of my mind like graffiti on the cathedrals of the ghetto called apartments. I sat down with her, and I grabbed my moon easel and cloud palette, and I started to add stars to her masterpiece. I found an Afrocentric descended angel that reminded me of Aphrodite, and I wondered what would be her aphrodisiac. She was sitting by herself, and now I sit with her. And she is so beautiful. Years would pass, and unfortunately, I started to lose a lot of my friends to violence and or jail. And it was hard for me not to feel a sense of survivor's remorse. So it would keep me up at night on how could I honor them. And I realized that I can honor them by not only telling my stories, but telling their stories as well, so they could live on the page forever. I'm from a place with his big houses and spouses. Nah, I'm really from a place where single moms commute 2 hours to work in pencil skirts and nice blouses. I'm from a place where dudes stand in front of the bodega trying to hold their jeans. I'm from a place where there's hustlers and fiends. Cops may intervene, some unseen. I'm from a place where boys raise boys, men are non-existent, and mothers are young. So how y'all expect us to turn out? Looking up to hustlers was our worth. We were told that our awards were skirts. Seeing the hood, fingers get contorted, rhetoric retorted, shots ring out by orphans. Now RIP shirts are worn in front of coffins, and this happens all too often. Cause we're taught to do that with no regret. Rep your set. We throwing up signs and we ain't even deaf. Kin to deaf. It's like our lives as long as that Bible verse. Jesus wept. See, that's why I can't wait till the day when my skin isn't a novelty. And our stories aren't synonymous with poverty, because honestly, it's hard to deal in modesty when we have to deal with this identity dichotomy. Like, why do I have to say I'm human too? When DNA proves I'm deep buried in you. We made the pyramid so you can see a beautiful view. We made statues with wide noses. We was just making the truth. So imagine someone saying it wasn't you. And whoever did those great things must have been much lighter than you. But how? When you discovered the tombs, mummy's hair was even woven down to the root. Truth. So if you really want to help us young brothers out, stop making our schools look like prisons. Stop determining how many jails you're going to build off our third grade reading scores. Scores, four scores. Give black boy ball and watch him score. Give black boy good beat, then put him on tour. Give black boy big chain because he loves the law. The crowd just screams because he never bores. But then watch black people get confused because a couple of black boys are up in Forbes. Five mic and sauce. Then be biased and make him law. Send black boy to jail, feed him well because he's a maw. Now he's locked down, now he misses a maw. Now he gets angry, he wants more. He screams at the top of his lungs, his voice gets hoarse. Cause he remembers when he used to rock polo with man on horse. But of course, this is not what black boys cause. He just stares, his look is coarse. They made his God look nothing like him, but made him say Lord. Black boy fights in yard as guards watching awe. It's like Ali and Foreman all over again with the same broken jaw. Now he saw society clips his wings, then asks him to saw. Now another black boy dead, but nobody saw. Now another black mother crying in streets, emotions raw. Now she prays to that same God, saying, why, Lord, why'd you have to take my little black boy? He had so much in store. But now he's just another young, dead, black boy. You see, I'm from a place where boys raise boys, men are non-existent, and mothers are young. So I pray for the black boy. As you see, that little boy that has dyslexia, that spent half of his educational journey in special education and remedial classes, that always struggled with English and writing, eventually found his way academically and actually started to thrive. And that same little boy made it to Broadway, to the mountaintop of writing. See, by telling stories and being authentic to who I am, I became the superhero I wanted to be as a kid. Thank you.